Falcha, gatinia, gudian, deal, the bait, le misha, Brendan O'Davnia, and Shaw, and Shin, August, and Shin, Vida Gav, Furin, Fwaka. We are down to two. Thanks, Trasa. Trasa's always helped me out before I come up the road here. We are down to two. It is the men of Niamh Connell against the men of Gidor in the senior championship, and so much else to round up this evening. Of course, all the possibilities, all the form that we've seen in a very exciting championship, particularly with the new rules. It's coming down to this, a throwback, I suppose. Still the top four, they've made it through in the end, and a throwback to the 2023 final. What a lot has changed since then, particularly, I suppose, in the ranks of Gidor when they were well beaten in that day. I can't see this final having that type of outcome. Of course, the 2018 trilogy between these two sides when Gidor were Ulster champions, and the epic encounters. And of course, Niamh Connell coming out on the top of that game, and in the trilogy, I suppose, looking dead and buried, as they have done a couple of times this season, but they've made it back to another final. Shortly, I'm going to be joined by the dynamic duo of Brenda Kilcoyne and Pádraig Helfrich here in studio. They are going to bring us through all the action. Joe Dex is here producing as ever. Later in the show, then, we'll hear from the main man himself, Michael McMullen. He's going to wrap up about its Roan and Derry Championship and a couple of real mouth-watering semi-finals coming up in that championship. Thanks, Katie, for the news. And, of course, the main man, Ivan, with the Power Hour Plus, getting things going on a Monday evening. But as I've said, on the top, I'm joined in studio here by two men of knowledge, two of the best pundits out there. I'm just going to say that. Slash commentators, of course. You could do
Well, Bren, I suppose he's coming into that commentary role as well.
Were you giving him any tips?
Not at all. He's looking for you, like, you know, the boy, the Beeb. You know, so he was telling me anyway.
The Beeb.
And Highland Radio, of course. Yeah,
yeah, you know what? It's a different world, Brendan, the commentary. I mean, fair play to you. You went seamlessly into it. Park's been doing it for years, and Dead Ocean, obviously, for years, before he got a proper transfer to a good station. Sorry, get the digs on. But no, Brendan, did you enjoy the commentary all right?
I did, funny enough, yeah. I enjoyed it a couple of times I've done it. It's completely different, so it is, you know, and you have to be a lot more prepared, I think. You know, you can't just stroll up for the game and join in,
Like you and Brendan do, yeah.
Well, you kind of found out, aren't
you? Yeah, absolutely, yeah. There's no bluffing when you're at that height, you know.
Oh, you're right. It is, listen, the concentration levels are way higher.
Yeah,
because sometimes when you're doing COLCOM, you've got time to see everything, and you can kind of, you're almost teeing up what you're about to say. Whereas with a commentator, it's just steady Park. But you listen. It's what are off the duck's back for you at this stage?
Well, not like everything. You're always learning. You're always taking notes and wee hints here and there. But look, this year I've found back doing the commentating a lot. Really enjoyable, you know, the games from end to end. Like, I mean, you've done a few and Brent together, and you know, when you're raising your pitch and there's a goal going in, and then the ball's out and there's a two pointer, it's a wee bit frantic, and you're just enjoying it a lot more, Brent. And that's, I suppose, for me, down through the years, you know, you've done it, you know, you do it in
a veteran.
I don't mean it that way, but you've just enjoyed it a lot more. But with the tactical football that was going on for years, it was very, very, let's call it it was fairly boring. Like, you know, you're going left to right and you might get the ball over the bar, but now you're getting scores at half time, you're getting a full time score this time last year. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, and as I say, look, there's more excitement back in the game. There's the two pointer, I think, this year has been brilliant. You know, you can go up and get a goal, but someone come down and get another two pointer, and you know, it's as exciting at junior B right up to senior. So, you know,
Right,
ultimately, it's up to the boys in the pitch, though. If they deliver a good game, it's easy to commentate.
I get you. And what about the streaming, Bryn? It's year one. I think there's been a brilliant reaction to
it. There seems to be a great reaction.
It's great that it's died on me, Highland, as well, because, you know, I think for a lot of people like that type of commentary, it's still through Highland, but then the streaming's taken up so many games. And for me, even, there was a couple of games there where I just couldn't get to, and it was brilliant.
No, it's fantastic to be able to see them games, so it isn't for a lot of people. And it seems to be getting great feedback anyone you speak to. I haven't heard any negative feedback from it at all as of yet, so it can only be good. And it raised the profile of Donegal football and club footballers in Donegal too, Brendan.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Lads, listen, we'll get straight into the action from the weekend, because we had two brilliant semi-finals, and obviously Gidor coming through in the first one. Big talk, Park, about St. Michael's coming into this game in terms of the season he had, and a couple of big results after that opening day defeat. And particularly I suppose a couple of weeks previous, beating Neve Connell down there. So you really felt, is this breakthrough time? Because there were so many teams I just mentioned in the intro that seemed to be putting their hand up, you know.
I was really looking forward to that one at the weekend, Gidor against St Michael's. I thought St Michael's, of course, they were really, really putting on big performances. And I think it was against Neve Connell I seen them, and I was really impressed with them this year. And I thought going into this weekend's game, I thought there's a serious chance for them to get back into a county final. They haven't been there since 2011, I think it is. But, you know, it didn't materialise for them, you know, unfortunately. And, like, I suppose you have to go back to what Gidor has done. They've, you know, developed their defensive shape this year as well, and they've really curtailed that. And obviously, they're able to stick within the game. They got the goal before half time. I think the goal was a huge score going on at half time, and you know that gave them that platform in the second half. And suppose as the game petered on, the confidence moving out of St Michael's and Gidor grew.
Definitely. Joan Brennan, just looking at them, and there's a lot being made of the semi-finals they lost, but would a part of that not be that maybe you could avoid some of the bigger teams until you get to a semi-final? Would that be the reason behind it? What I'm trying to say is, are St Michael's just that bit below what that top four often were bringing, and did we see it again maybe on Saturday?
Yeah, I think ultimately that's the problem. Like, that's seven county semi-finals since they appeared in the final in 2011, Brendan, you know, and they've come up short on that and keep coming up short for the same reasons. And I thought going into the game, I thought the form of Michael Langan, etc., might just be enough maybe to push Gidor the whole way. And they did push them hard, but ultimately, you know, you have to say Gidor look like a team on a mission. They really look focused, and everything about them looks one-track mind with them. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can see that with them, and that can be only positive for them. And their young players are blending in well. Young Stephen Donna McFadden, like when they were struggling early in the game, he was the man. I think he's a fantastic footballer. I've sort of seen him over the last number of years, and he was the man just driving through the St Michael's defence. So they seem to be very collectively together. And they're going to be, obviously, like, and when you're long enough around, Brendan, as we are, kind of thing, you see Gidor, you never discount them from any sort of predictions you're making for a championship. And ultimately, we've ended up, you know, we've had a very topsy-turvy championship with some kind of big, big turnovers in it and some big games in it. But ultimately, you're back to the good old faithful of Gidor and Niamh
the
Connell.
The good old faithful is right. A couple of words here from Francie Field just after the match. Francie, how does it feel there? You're back in the county final. That's what you set out at the start of the season. That's where you wanted to be, and you're here.
Yeah, that's for sure, Bren. You know, suppose last year, you know, the game against the Unions in the semi-final, we kind of thought we left it behind us, like, and Unions went on in and won it, you know. But listen, it's a different year. You know, you're not always going to get back to that position. Fairness, the boys dug down and went back hard at it, and we're back in a final now, and we're 60 minutes away. So listen, whoever runs tomorrow's game, you know, it'll be a final, and so listed 50-50 in a final. So listen, we're glad to be back in the final for sure, Brendan.
Yeah, your experience, Francie, it took you many places in terms of coaching. You're in along with Donegal the stage as well. I get a real feeling of your shape in terms of your zonal defending. How you always, it looks like you've extra men on the pitch at times. There's a real team buy-in to your defensive shape, and when you go forward in, you can see a wild calmness on the ball as well. Like, that's night after night of coaching. You can really see it throughout your team.
Ah, it is, Brendan, but listen, every team's doing the same. There's like a serious amount of coaching going on now. Every team, you know. And we're just listening, just with the players we have, you know, we're able to do them certain things, you know. In fairness, the boys, they're buying into it, you know. And we're getting the results. I suppose that's the good thing. If you weren't getting the results, Brendan, it'd be a different ball game, you know. But we're getting the results. So listen, it's been very good. And fairness, they're a good crowd of boys there, and they don't mind doing the hard yards.
Yeah, and Francie, just looking, like, the amount of players missing for Gidor as well. I mean, we look at other teams and there might be an odd one or two injuries or different things, but you know, you've maybe six or seven boys between injuries and off travelling around the world that aren't here. It's taken a big job this last 3 years to kind of, you've almost kind of turned on a new team, if you like. Well, you've unearthed a lot of new players, and you've had to cope with a lot of losses of players, which makes this run even more remarkable.
Yeah, that's for sure, Brendan. You know, opposing fairness, Gidor, that 2018 team, there's not many players left in that 2018 team. So, in fairness, there's a great bit of coaching going on down in Gidor with all underage structure and stuff, and they won back-to-back under-21s, and suppose that's coming back and out of the senior team. A lot of them are now senior players, you know, and they're leading it out. So, listen, Alison, we're missing a lot of players, Brendan, but so what can you do? Listen, boys are away for different things. Boys are away travelling around the world, and boys injured and stuff like that. We just have to move on, and we're lucky at the minute. We have a good panel of players, and in fairness, everybody, it was the first time, it was all year, we had a free panel to pick with no injury, so that was good.
Yeah, and last... Yeah, I was just saying to Francie at the end there, of course, coach of Gridoire, about being able to watch the semi-final. Kevin Cass is in there as well.
Did he sneak in? He's
in the... Listen, I've seen it about a few games. I forgot to actually talk to him about it. He kind of came in just to add a bit. And I know he's still got that bit of charge up in the dressing room. Listen, Cass is not going to be quiet. Like, I'm just saying, you still need that a bit, Brendan. I know things get very tactical, and as the game moves on, it's more and less away from it. But you still need a wee charge, don't you? And there'd be nobody better than Cass to give that. So all those wee bits make up a good backroom.
Well, when you see Peter McGee and Neil McGee back in there as well, like, you know, and we were just looking to see how many was missing from that 2019 game that played against Niamh Connell. I think there's six or seven missing. So there's...
Well, I kind of did a quick answer. Maybe five or six of the team that started at the weekend would have been involved in the 18, like, kind of thing.
Mm. Big turnover.
Yeah.
And bringing that experience in. But I think there's one man we were excited to see back in there as well. It was Oran McNeillis. Like, you know, we're still waiting for him to start swinging that left boot of his, you know, from distance. But
that's the same way we were just chatting off about the 2-point threat with him, that I thought they would need to push the play in, give it to McNeillis coming outside arc and bang, but we haven't seen that.
O'Boyle
had a few. Uh-huh. He had a few goes at the weekend. Actually, I talked to him after the match. There's loads of interviews actually up on HillRadio.com, but he was saying himself he wasn't happy shooting, was a wee bit off. But I think Darragh striking his leg, that hits the ball so hard that sometimes it can screw you off, you know, because we've seen him hit ridiculous points. All year we don't think all as well.
He's been phenomenal. But Ethan Harkin has really stepped up this year for Gidor. And also Michael Rorty, he scored a big score against Kilkear in the quarter final, and then, suppose, stepping up again, you know. So maybe there's a little bit of pressure off Oran McNeillis and, you know, the players like that, you know, and maybe Darragh Whale is allowing those other players to come into it as well, you know. But Ethan Harkin, I thought, has had a fantastic campaign so far for Gidor.
Oh, he has. No, he was a bit quiet for his own standards first half, but second half he came in, did a bit. I enjoyed it. He obviously was getting a bit in the ear from his St Michael's opposite number. He was giving it back to him. He had a 2-pointer, which he's allowed to do. Tell me, Bren, you mentioned, we're just chatting about the goal there, which was a hammer blow to St Michael's, and a lot of that, it was a brilliant finish by Miguel Avrija, but Darragh Boyle again has upper body power, is unbelievable. He can take two or three challenges, and as he's playing the ball, he actually took two or three, he fisted over the top, Miguel Avrija was on. Now the difference in St Michael's and Gidor defence was shut tight. Gidor's defence very, very tight, you know, and they don't leave their zones, whereas St Michael's, you know, you could even see it at times, they will go after the ball a small bit, leave themselves a wee bit open. There was definitely goals coming in that game, and that Miguel Avrija one, just in the stroke of half time, was a massive blow.
Huge blow for St Michael's, because they'd actually done alright up to that, you know, they were 5 points ahead, and kind of, you know, I think, you know, and you're right about O'Boyle, like, he's a serious athlete, he's so powerful running and so strong on the ball that he's very hard to dispossess. And I just think that the goal maybe sucked the life out of them. Now, they did come out in the second half and they showed a bit of a response, which always felt Gidor had that bit more about them and that they were going to come strong towards the end. And that's the way it proved, Brendan, you know.
Yeah, and listen, Kieran Kelly had a couple of goal chances in it. And they would have given Michaels a massive lifeline. I think it could have got very close. There was just something in my heart that said, Gidor can step it up a wee bit here. They just looked a wee bit more able to control the game. Do you know what I mean? They had too many players, as you mentioned there, that were good on the ball, and in that final quarter then they ended up outscoring Michael 6-1, which kind of was where they pushed home the advantage,
especially in O'Donnell Park as well. You know, they know that pitch so well. And there's one player that we mentioned there, Miguel Abregi, about the goal he got in just before half time. But, you know, he built, you know, that platform going forward, having the runners as well. Like, Gidor have really upped that particular running threat that they've had, and it's causing problems. But you're right in that, Brendan. Suppose it was a game where you felt, look, it's going to take a goal or two for St Michael's really, really to try and go for this victory here. You know, disappointing for them. But Gidor, look, just doing what Gidor has done, they seem to have the pep and the step once again, and closing out games is something they've done down through the years, and, you know, they've got that experience of doing that.
Yeah, and so for Gidor, an unbeaten, you know, final 2 years ago. They weren't really on it. Last year, semi-final, Eunice just squeezed past them. You know, Darragh Boyle, a late chance to equalise, remember?
That's right.
So, you know, I was just saying in the intro, that Gidor team got in the final I thought they didn't have a chance. And no, Niamh Connell completely outplayed them. And Niamh Connell actually went for them, do you remember?
Yes, yes.
They didn't play their normal game. Yeah. They went after them because
they came out
of
themselves, yeah.
We're going to be too good for you. Mm-hmm. There's been some change now when you look at it. In fairness to McNeilish, and we talked about players away and different things, they've really moulded a very strong team there again.
They have, and that just shows you know, that you stick with your manager for a few years, let them build and build, develop the trust between the management and the players, and that's what they've done. Like there was obviously big hurt after that semi-final last year because they keep referring to it, Brendan, against St. Junan's, and any interview you hear about them, that's their kind of ballmark, so it is, of we want to get back from where we were there, and they certainly have gone about it the right way this year, so they have, and they look a real detail, and you look at what they can bring in, like Niall Freed coming home from Dubai, we're speaking about him off here. You look at Aidan Branagh, I thought he's been a fantastic player for them for the last number of years, just came in, they were able to bring him in. And then you have the two young lads, Jordy Gribben and Cathal Rua, who had huge campaigns for Donegal under-20s earlier in the year, didn't get game time at all yesterday. Peter McGee played midfield for them the whole way through the championship. So it shows you they have strength and depth, but it also shows you that they're a team that's on a mission, that are training well together, that the management, they've all bought into the management down there, so they have, and you know, it's all systems go kind of thing for them to get that Dr. Maguire back down to Gidor, and that's so obvious from the soundings that are coming out from them.
Yeah, and the man that they have to beat is the man of St. Michael's. We'll start off with references that, how much the guys is getting on together as a team. You can see that on the pitch, but they're up against, I'd say at this point, when we look at it all in Park, this is the best two sides in Donegal that have ended up in the final. And if, let's say for example, that had been Michael's four masters and it was Gidor and Niamh Connell, I think, like, no offence to the two, but I think that this is probably the final pairing that would maybe, like, they're the best two squads, I think, in the championship.
They are, absolutely. Look, and I suppose we're still seasoned down in Tyrone, like we had a chance of knocking them out there in the quarter final. But look, you just have to look at, I was up in Niamh Connell, I think it was against Ardragh, and Ardragh almost beat them that particular day, and Bradis was doing the video work that day, and we're just chatting about, you know, a couple of years ago they weren't going well, and they came back and they got into it, and they got into the final, and they won the final. I think it was 2016, 2017, and around that particular period, you know, and you were just looking at them, they weren't, any of the games I was covering, like St. Michael's beat them up there, Ardragh nearly beat them up, and Niamh Connell, and you're scratching your head going, what's going on here? But they've been dogged, and the victory yesterday specifically, I know in the last, you know, the last, it was extra time, the second half, they dominated that, but they had to dig out that performance as well. They had to dig it out against Herman. Look, and I suppose the one against Killybegs fairly, you know, the little bit of despair, you know, but it is, as the old saying goes, Brendan, it is a sign of a good team, you know, when you're going bad and you can dig out those results. And, you know, suppose our expectations of Niamh Connell is so high, but Kevin McGinnigan getting that goal yesterday when they were against the grain as well, what a goal to get at such a crucial time.
Yeah, and Brendan, you know, so much in this game, and I want to ask you about that goal, because I'm wondering, is it because Four Masters go after the ball? They do have different style than a lot of other teams that's up there. But before that, when you mentioned it yesterday, I was listening to your summing up, you know, around the 15 wides and indiscretions and that, and the ability that's in this Four Masters team. So how much of that now, because it's been a strange season for Niamh Connell in terms of what we're used to with Niamh Connell. They're usually like a machine, you know, so they've been a bit up and down. So in your heart yesterday, was this a one that Four Masters left behind them, or did you always think a wee bit like a door that Niamh Connell weren't going to go away?
I think Four Masters are going to have huge regrets, Brendan, you know, and listen, we all know their young side, they're obviously going to be around for a good few years, but like they give, was it 5 or 6 points to give away with indiscretions? Like, I thought Lewis McGahan was, you know, harshly adjudged to have taken too long over a kick out, 1 point. Couple other instances then where they kind of argued a free and it was brought forward the top of the D. Shane Malone punished them accordingly, kind of thing. So from that perspective, they'll take a lot of learning from it.
It's unusual that though, Brendan. Mm. We're not seeing too much of that. I mean, sometimes you nearly forget about outside of, say, tap and go, and obviously the 11, yeah, the normal stuff, the two-pointer. Some of them you nearly forget they're there because teams have got very wise to it. So for Masters to concede,
yeah,
six.
Huge, huge learnings, you know, for six. Them, Brendan. Like, you know, and listen, they were very good. They played some really good football. And what I liked about them, they were brave. Yes, they kicked 15 wides. but they were prepared to take on the chances. Now, listen, when you sit down and you analyse it and their coaches sit down and analyse it, they're going to, you know, wonder, listen, lads, we need to work a better position here or not just snap at these kind of shots. But there's so much positive. Young Thurlock Carr playing at 11.
Who cares, 10 points?
Senan was brilliant inside in the corner too. Now, Conor McCahill, you know, who would, he's a goal scorer, huge threat inside. Ulton Doherty, like, he's a fantastic marker. He's totally underrated. You don't see him on the ball. You don't see no flash from him. He just does his job, shuts his man down. But the two Carrs were brilliant. Kevin Muldoon, fantastic too, so he was. And, you know, Callum McRae then at halfback. Alex McCalmont was very good for them inside, but seemed to be, whatever way Niamh Connell set up, Alex McCalmont seemed to be in acres of space every time, so he did. He just looking out in the pitch, you could see he was 20, 30 yards away from no one. And he punished them accordingly. He punished Niamh Connell accordingly, kicking 4 points. So, you know, I think they'll take a lot out of it. They were very good, so they were. They had a good run in the championship. They're just not ready yet, so they're not. And them the learners that they'll take from yesterday should help them an awful lot. But looking at Niamh Connell, they're just a machine. Yeah. You know, they are a machine. Yeah.
And see the good, you know, the goal that score, Brendan, as I said, what, because I know you're obviously covering the game. What was your, like, I admire the way Four Masters go after teams because it actually creates a lot of excitement in the game as well. And I think as the game evolves, that's the way teams that do well are going to play.
Yeah.
Because you need to go after the ball. You need to get turnover ball before you're in the zonal. I think we're kind of holding on to the old rules of the zonal now. Don't get me wrong, you're always going to go about zonal in the match, you know what I mean, during the games at different points and that. But I think if your thing is drop straight back in and wait, then I think you're inviting yourselves on, particularly as teams get better at picking you apart.
So when you've got serious runners coming, and I think we've seen it against Kilcare and Gidor, when they were putting runners into that zonal, it caused a little bit of havoc and took Gidor a wee minute or so, they got stifled. They could have two goals, three goals at that stage, that's, you know. Right. But right. I think you're right, Bren. I think that those runs coming from, you know, the half-back line, half-forward line, and we look at Niamh Connell, and we're on about that, and you look at Max Campbell coming, you've Finbar Rorty coming, you've Kieran Gallagher, and a young gentleman called Anthony Thompson coming, popping up as well. So, you know, it's from that point of view, from the way the new rules have really impacted this year's championship. It probably is. It's going to work on those zonal defences, thankfully.
Yeah, yeah.
And just on the goal, Brendan, like, you know, Four Masters were after hitting 3 points on the bounce to go three ahead, 8 minutes into the first half of extra time, looking pomp, looking really at it kind of thing, as if they were going to go on.
Yeah.
Steve McGrath puts the ball down. Now, I had literally had the score written and the ball was in the air in the middle of the field. Kieran Gallagher dropped down to Kevin McGettigan.
What a season he's having.
Oh, he's brilliant. Like, you know, he turns up. He did the same way the day we were down. We did a game down in our draw against Killybegs.
Was really
sauntered through back of the net. Like, he's such a quality footballer.
Option for the county.
Oh, absolutely. Well, he was in with the county squad this year, like, you know. And
but did he actually get...
He didn't get much game time now. He was an extended squad.
He looks like he's... Yeah.
He's a big lad.
Just a smart player. Turns up at the right place. Yeah. And, like, the coolness and... You know, of sticking the ball past Lewis McGaughan was just brilliant. And goal went in, then it was Brendan McDyer, Shane Malone, and suddenly game was out of, you felt was out of Four Masters' hands. And they battled bravely. And but you just, like, I want to compare this Niamh Connell team to last year, Brendan, for example. Ulton Doherty wasn't available last year. Max Campbell wasn't available last year. Shane Malone wasn't available last year. And the big one for me is Kieran Gallagher in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
He started off that game yesterday as if he was going to take on the world, won the throw and drove straight down through the line. Okay, he lost it, but he continued and he gives them that big man option in the middle of the field. And he looks fit. He looks focused. He looks like a real player, this guy. So we know he's a good player, but he looks really tuned into it this year.
Yeah, a lot of players back from New Conley, right? And listen, this is a hard game to call. I'm just quick prediction then on the final. That's who you gonna put your hat on.
I don't know. I'll go Brennan. You go first.
I think it is very hard, difficult to call. Obviously, two very good teams in the final. I just think Niamh Connell will get over the line and they'll do it by a point or two again, kind of thing. Because that's what they do. They just do enough to get over the line.
What do you reckon?
I think there's this thing on this Gidor side. I really do. I think, you know, I think Niamh Connell, you know, they didn't perform in the quarter final. They didn't perform in the semi final. Okay, they got out, and Martin Regan mentioned it yesterday. You know, there's going to be no doubt about it. It's going to be a massive game. It's going to be a point or two either side. But I think something's telling me Gidor this year.
There you go, boys. That's the two experts now.
No expert now.
Listen, Park, you're heading over to the press.
Who do you think? Now,
before, I honestly have a slight sneak for Gador, yeah. So, but the new Colin boys will love me saying that. I just think having watched them this year, just like, but again, Park, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a draw. You know, it's one of them games, even if we have a slight hunch, it really means no one, because it's going to come down the wire. And if a team should go on the lead, either team will sit back and they will invite the other team on them. So we're never going to have a time where someone cruises through it. It won't be like a couple of years ago, I suppose. That's what I was saying from the top. Park, you're heading over a bit of a presser. Of course, we have the intermediate final coming up between the weekend, Colm Killen, man, two teams have been knocking on the door last few years. That should be a cracker coming up next week.
The press conference is going to be quite busy tonight. We've got the senior, obviously, and the intermediate and the junior. I suppose Niamh Columba and Mallon are in the intermediate final, and I suppose Niamh Columba been knocking on the door for quite some time. You know, they were there last year, didn't really perform against Terman, and I suppose they'll be looking to make up for that one. But I suppose when you look at Mallon are back in there. They're looking to get back into the senior championship, you know. They played Division 1 this year, and you know, I suppose they didn't really focus on the league. They focused on getting out of the intermediate championship. And it can be very, very tough in that intermediate championship. I suppose Niamh Warwick, I suppose, was one of the favourites. That game down at the Bourne Road, and Mallon turned them over. Big victory for them there, you know. So it was definitely a game where they showed their pedigree. They had to go to the well, and they did, scoring three goals that particular day as well. But look, as I say, Niamh Columba, they've been primed now his last his last number of years to come out of intermediate, and suppose Brendan, intermediate championship, but it's exciting.
Look, Terman have done, though, but you got to say it's great for the intermediate, what actually Terman have done this year.
Absolutely,
coming forward, you know. There was a couple of crackers in the juniors as well. Eric and Gales, what about you, Niamh Breed? 5-14 to 2-19 coming through after extra time. And of course, Cairn Donagh, last year's beaten finalists, they accounted for St Mary's Convoy, who were having a great season themselves. So Cairn Donagh, Eric and Gales, that'll be another great final.
It'll be a cracker. And suppose they've played each other in the group stages as well. Cairn Donagh finishing ahead of Letterkenny Gales, but I was at the St Mary's Convoy and Cairn game at the weekend, and suppose myself and Paul McGonigal was doing it, and we're just writing the obituary for Convoy, and you know, they were 9 points down at one stage, but they showed serious grit and determination, and they will, you know, they had two pointer opportunities towards the end of the game. It didn't materialise for them, but they rallied, and you know, the momentum was in there. Was on their way, but the likes of Conor O'Donnell and co really kicked in. Cian Doherty kicked 6 points, you know, in the first opening half. They had a bit of a breeze down in Burt, nothing. I suppose it was Aidan Cairn in the first half, and then it aided Convoy in the second half, I suppose. But Cairn Donagh, they just got through, you know, just barely, Brendan, in the game. Yeah. They were in big, you know, they were big favourites for that game.
Yeah.
But fair play to Lawrence McMullen. A special word to Lawrence. He was playing and managing, you know, at the same time. Yeah. So
they were well beaten in last year's final, actually. I remember well against Steve Patrick Gisagin. So they'll be keen to make up for lost time. Brendan, you were at the relegation playoff. I got a shock when I seen the result coming through. I know you were doing coverage as well. I mean, this was a game very hard to call. There's no way you would have put so for Aroa to win so convincingly. What happened?
Yeah, listen, you have to say St. Noel's were poor, Brendan, like, you know, and I don't mean I need to go hard on any team, but they were poor. No, that's it. Listen, there were 3 points up or behind at half time, 1-9 to 1-6. I think Aroa came out in the second half and outscored them 1-8 to 2 points, kind of thing. And I think, you know, there's talk that Brendan McCall might have been carrying an injury. Patrick Morgan was very good, and Mulroney picked up a couple of knocks, kicked a couple of big frees, but you know, they're carrying a couple of injuries. Stuart Johnson wasn't available to them. He'd be one of their marquee forwards, kind of thing, you know, and they were missing a couple other players. So they have problems. So I don't think a year back down in intermediate will do.
Division 3 as well, they're in it.
Struggle. They won three games all year in Division 2 of the league. So that's indicative of where they are. Now, obviously, they're without the three lads from the county, and that's difficult. And it's probably hurting them an awful lot not having them available throughout the year. Just coming in, and then you have to kind of readjust come championship and all that. But to be fair to Aroa, Ballyshannon, they were very good in the night and fully deserved it. And big Matt Gillespie in the middle of the field had a huge game for them, absolutely superb game, as a Shane Dillon-Hunty wing back, and came out deserving winners in the evening. And they'll be back senior again next year, but they've got their own problems down there too. You know, they're not at the levels they want to be, and you know, you have to think only a couple of years ago, I think they topped the group stage winning their four games.
Right.
So, you know, to go from there to winning no games, they had a good run in Division 2 in the league. They finished only second behind Dunloe in Division 2 of the league. So, you know, there's something there.
They're building, yeah.
There's something there, but they're a disappointing group stages in the championship.
Yeah, certainly. My wee buddy Roper involved there.
He is, yeah. Yeah,
Ops, would say. And tell me, the woes of Clonmacnoise have finally stopped. Well, it was almost back-to-back relegations, you know, and I know it's been a tough time for everybody down there, but they at least steered clear of a drop to junior football, beating their Arsa.
Aye, good, and as I say, you know, down through the years, they have a great tradition in Clonmacnoise, and as I say, 117 to 7 points against the Narasa. And suppose, again, emigration has played a big part in this, losing Jason McGee as well. Suppose, you know, massive player for them to lose. But, you know, it's good to see them staying up, and hopefully they get a couple of players back next year. And, you know, Clonmacnoise, they have a great tradition, and they'll be back, and hopefully they get a number of their players back, you know, as well.
Yeah, it could be like that, Brendan, when things start to go against you and you lose players. And
yeah,
you
know, absolutely.
You think about them and remember the Dunloe a couple of seasons ago, and then we had Dunloe in the county final last year, and we're saying, look at how the difference from two teams that were evenly matched.
And they've been powered by young lads, like young Cathal McGeever, so he plays around Middle Park, big, tall player, very skillful player, and young Donoghue Boyle. You know, they're and these guys are only 19, 20, and they're the kind of main players for them now because of the amount of, you know, serious senior players that they've lost over the last while. So for them to pull that out of the bag, I'd say it'd be a huge relief for them, because they wouldn't, you know, going two consecutive relegations would be a fair, huge blow. Like,
be tough. Listen, thanks so much for the wrap up. I don't want to keep you late, Park, because Oisin Kelly has demanded you over there, and I don't want to fall out with Oisin. He's on his times, and I'm always late. And, so don't you be late. Don't you be late. You head on. That was Park Alfred and Brendan Kilcoyne. Lads, thanks so much for the wrap up. After the break, I'm going to be speaking with Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life as we look across the Derry and Tyrone Championships. Yes, folks, welcome back. Michael McMullen is on the line. Michael, how are you, sir? Not coming through to me yet. Is your mic all right, your side there? To give a wee check there, my old boy. You have a nice wee headset. There you are now. There you are now. You all right?
Not too bad. How's things with yourself?
I'm sure fancy new headphones was causing a problem.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You're all right.
Sometimes you better go back to basics, Brendan.
Back to basics. Now we're talking. Mal, listen, I was talking to you the last few weeks about coming on, and there was just so much happening in Donegal. I was mad to get a wee update for you. And then looking across, I says, listen, could you come on? And listen, Mal, you're obviously a good friend of Highland here in Donegal GA. And just looking at these semi-finals, Mal, I mean, straight away, like the Derry Championship, both, but getting into Derry one first, I mean, just unbelievable. I mean, Glenn, Mara, Felslaw, Neil, against Newbridge, I mean, mouth-watering stuff there, Mal and Derry, four top teams in the semis.
Yeah, Brendan, and it's long overdue, because it's been a bit of a, it's been underwhelming, to be honest. Before we get into the semi-finals, I think 16 teams is too many, Brendan. I think we should go the Monaghan route with 10 teams. It's the same four teams 3 years in a row, and it tells you that there's definitely a gap. But those four teams, you're right, they're there for a reason. Newbridge are champions. Glen have won in All-Ireland. Maher Felt have, they won the title in 19, they lost in 20. And Slaneel at the end of the day, they've got a very proud record in Ulster, albeit they haven't won the Bacon since 2020. So that's the way it is so far. But the unfortunate thing is it's only really getting going now. That's the disappointment.
And we were talking about this at the get-go. Well, Donegal's changed quite a bit. There's a lot of teams can beat other teams. And the top four thing, even though the two that's in the final has what you would call the traditional top four, but certainly big ones for Glen and Mara Felt. And that's telling you about that distance. I know Newbridge got a bit tighter against Steelstown, and Slaughtneil really too much for Lavie. But there was a couple of big scorelines put up there that's saying that the competitiveness of some of the teams isn't up to the standard.
Before a ball was kicked on Sunday, Brendan, now the Sunday games, I would have to say, were excellent. But before Sunday, there was 22 senior games, and the average win in Marsham was 8.4 points. Like it's just not entertaining. Yeah. But the two semi-finals on Saturday, Brendan, Maher Felt were so convincing against Blahe, and Glenn sort of, as I say, to Rory Cavanagh, you just got into the final without really, you know, raising any eyebrows as such. And then Sunday, Lavie and Slaneel and Steelstown and Newbridge were were absolutely class. Brilliant, brilliant championship games. And funny, I was listening to you boys talking before I jumped on the call, and it seems to be your big four is now gone. It's, you know, the extra four Masters are poking their head in there, and it's, you know, I know we're talking about Derry now, but it seems to have went the other way, whereas Derry have a big four.
But Mal, see, tactically, and we're just chatting about four Masters, like most of the teams are still playing zonal, dropping in, trying to do with 11 what they did with 12. For Masters, one of those teams that actually go after the ball a bit, and that, what are you seeing in Derry generally? Are teams all playing to a certain rhythm, or are there teams going after teams even at different points of the game? Before, they're desperately now needing, they would they just tactically go after teams sometimes and go after the ball?
It's like, for example, Balahi just sat off Maherfelt, and Maherfelt, I think they had a brand new goalkeeper in, and he won all but one kick out, and they were able to use the ball. They were probably a wee bit like Donegal when they were allowed to go, when Patton was allowed to go short. They always got a shot away. So that's Maherfelt's story. And then Labby, they come with a different sort of attitude with, you know, Shea Murn, Brent McGuire, you know, the Donegal people will know those two men. Mm. They just put a big bank of six men across the middle, and Slaney will struggle to get it out. So there is a contrast. But again, we had to wait really until the weekend before we saw exactly what people had. But the four that's left, you can make a case for any of them to win it.
Yeah, yeah.
You definitely could. It wouldn't be a surprise if anybody won it. There's no out and out favourite.
Yeah. Yeah, I just heard your interview with Kevin. There's some great interviews on there on HighlandRadio.com. I'll cover it there. But you were just referencing the fact that a few injuries for Glenn, they're getting up to clean bill of health, which could have a good impact for them come this semi.
Yeah, and you obviously know Rory a lot better than I do, but he seems to be the sort of manager where if there's somebody's got a knock, you don't play. And then obviously now this is go time. This, you know, there is no tomorrow. So he's got them all ready. I think Cathal Mulholland is out of the country. But apart from that, you're right, he's getting everybody back. Michael Warnock hasn't played. He was togged out though. And there's somebody else that didn't play. Yeah, Kieran McFall. So with Ethan Doherty, Jack Doherty, I hope Kieran Meaney can get Jack Doherty on board with Derry. They're starting to sort of come at the right time, Glenn. And obviously, if you're an All-Ireland champion in the last couple of years, that tells its own story. But that'll be put it this way, Brenton. Maherfelt will not be able to get the kick out so away as handy against Glenn. You know, I just know that's the way it's going to be. And, you know, you've got a midfield of, you know, Conor Glass, Emmett Bradley. You've loads of energy. So Maherfelt might have to think differently. And Enda Muldoon did say that, but they focused a lot on Blahy. Blahy have an exceptionally good keeper in Peter Stewart. And they decommissioned him just with getting men in the right places. So whereas the semi-final is going to be different.
Mm. Tell me, and just on, you mentioned Meaney there. Is it important for Derry? Well, obviously there's been that bit of turmoil in there, you know, a couple of tough seasons. Is it important now the club championship hits that bit of fire now, and that we see the best of these players, county players and potential county players, to kind of give Meaney a bit of a lift coming into the new season? Do you think there's a big role in this club championship and these four last remaining teams to really push that on?
Yeah, there has been. Like, I think the most important thing, and you probably nailed it there, Brenton, getting the manager in early. I know that's an overused statement I've made oftentimes, but whereas last year was a complete and utter car crash, Paddy Talley didn't stand a chance coming in as late as he did. You know, he didn't really get a fair crack at it. Whereas now, and Kieran Meaney, don't forget, he's worked in the county university his whole life as a teacher, and he was heavily involved under Rory Gallagher, and before that with Damien McAuleen, and an exceptionally thorough man. And like between him and Chrissy McCaig, and apparently Benny Hearn's in his management team, and he would have played in the championship himself. So the boys would have saw a lot of what's happening, and I've saw them at quite a few games, and you would imagine that they're starting to get their ducks in a row for at whatever stage they get the green light.
Yeah, certainly. We're really looking forward to these games. Mal, when are they to be played, Mal, the Derry semis?
2 weeks' time.
So they're taking the break.
Yeah, they're taking the break. The way it works in Derry, and it's really good for dual clubs because it's football 1 week, hurling the next. But from the point of view of the media and promoting the games, it leaves your weekend where you might have four games of hurling, and then the following weekend you have 12 games of football, and it's a real cramming session. So it's just a wee bit lopsided. But here, Brenton, the players have to come first, and it's whatever way you work it around those. So it's just, it leaves it difficult with Derry that just so many geo players.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, listen, coming into the Tyrone Championship, of course, Loch McCrory beating Donagh Moyne, Eden Dark were defeated by Carrigmore. They're the first semi-final pairing. You know, there's something about the likes of Carrigmore, you just always expect something from them. Aren't they one of those clubs where you think they can beat anyone? No, they haven't done well the last number of years, but you think there's something always going to be brewing with Carrigmore. Of course, Loch McCrory, a lot of work, a lot of coaching going on there, and trying to knock on the door as well of what is this enthralling Tyrone Championship.
Yeah, Carrigmore, Brendan, you hit the nail on the head. They sort of have that tradition, and of like they're one of the few teams to have retained the title, and we all know how difficult that is. But I was actually talking to Luke Barrett and Marty Boyle, the Derry Marty Boyle, who's managing Loch McCrory. And Luke's in coaching them, and he was up at Owen Beg with Marty, and they made the point that Loch McCrory and Carrigmore are in the same parish, and they rocked up one day for a league game, and I don't know if they exaggerated this or not, but they thought there was 3,000 people at it, packed, absolutely packed for a league game. I don't know what this championship game's going to be like, Brenton. Maybe the likes of TG Cahir may get their hands on it or something, I don't know, because like we all know how fanatical Tyrone people are about their football in general before you even talk about trying to win stuff. So,
but Matt, what about the county then? Because I like that there, and here, and I was chatting at the end of McGinley, he was on about before pre-championship, some of those last league games, there's big crowds at them, and that it doesn't seem to be representing itself with the county team as much.
Brendan, that's like, you know the story yourself, that's turned on its head completely, because usually if you went to a Tyrone game, you're always outnumbered. I don't know whether there's maybe like a wee bit of a disconnect just with, club versus county, or maybe, I don't know, I'm not a Tyrone man, maybe it's wrong to say this, maybe there was just a luxury of all an expectation of always winning, always being in finals, whereas...
Well, I suppose when you look at it, Mal, the way...
You see the friends in Donegal this past couple of years where people are... They would have sold their granny to get a ticket sort of thing, so...
And the Kerry analogy of, you know, not turning up really sometimes until the final, mm-hmm. you know, I suppose, like, people maybe... And the sheer success of Tyrone at all ages, everywhere, even their masters, every competition, it seems to be them, and... It's strange just at the minute there seems to be that kind of weirdness around their county. But, Mal, the other game, I mean, Errigal Kieran Trillick, I mean, I don't know anybody in Ulster that won't want to see this football match. I mean, this is another enthralling encounter of these two top teams.
Okay, like, I go back to Trillick in Scotstown a few years ago. It was the year Glenn won Ulster, and Trillick were brilliant that day. It was a fantastic game. And I actually think, I believe they left an Ulster behind them. I know the Glen people may think we might have beat Trillick, but maybe they would have, Brendan, but that's the level they're at. Now, Richie Donnelly or Matty Donnelly didn't play the last day, and there's a guy, Daniel Donnelly. He's a sort of a marker. He did a really good job in Conor McCarthy. I'm not sure, obviously not as well versed in Tyrone, but I'm not sure if those guys will be back now, but they're obviously three really important players. Lee Brennan scored 7 points to get Pomeroy. But Brenton, the width of a crossbar kept Trillick in the championship. Brenton Burns, who had already got a goal, it literally hit the crossbar in the last play. It goes in, it slides out for Trillick. And Pomeroy, who were trying to scramble, you were chatting there about, you know, St. Nolls and teams in relegation. That's where Pomeroy are, battling for relegation, and they could have put Trillick out. That's the fine line. And... But here, they're in the hat. They managed past it. And if they can get those three men back, not sure the lay of the land, Errigal will know what they're up against. From Errigal's point of view, I remember chatting to Peter O'McCartan at the Gaelic Life All-Stars do last year. It was one of those 2 o'clock in the morning conversations, but it was actually quite sensible, I would have to say. But I remember him saying he was going to America, and I got the impression a lot of the older guys were... It was the last dance, but I'm looking at Kieran Quinn, Kieran McGinley, I think he's his cousin, like he's 37, he was playing thirds football, he's still going strong. So they seem to have everybody back that I can see. I was just took a glance at the team list before I jumped on here, Brenton. So they've won the title. They're the other team along with Carrigmore that have got a history of retaining it. And here, if they had a lifted a leg in the first half, they could have won an All-Ireland. So that's the quality that's there. So you would maybe be better keeping your Holy Communion money in your pocket, Brendan, for these two games. How do you predict them? And hopefully, and the only thing I will say is, it's an impossible situation for somebody like ourselves who would follow a lot of football. It's just a pity the likes of Donegal, Tyrone and Derry games are always on the same weekend. And knowing that, I know we can't try and separate club championships to suit, but it's just a really busy, and especially now in the semi-final weekends, like they're cracking weekends. Mm. It's just a pity they're all on at the same time. But here, we can look over each other's walls a few times if there's a big game coming up.
Yeah. Emil, do you think that, you know, we talk about Tyrone and how difficult it is to win a game, but the fact that Errol are Ulster champions, the fact that you said, you know, the All-Ireland final, particularly the second half, that there is some amount of experience it's got from that, you know, in terms of never say die and ability, and when they get it forward, they've got some razor sharp people in terms of taking you apart. So have they benefited, do you think, from last year? Do they look now a much more confident kind of group that said, right, we're going to size up Trillick, but, you know, both teams are going to possession first, get their fences in shape, but you'd think the holes could be punched more from the Errol side?
I don't know, Brendan. Would Errol learn a lesson from the All-Ireland final, where they actually, well, I suppose they were forced to throw the shackles off that day because they were leaking water and went for it. So, as I say, I've only been following them by highlights. I haven't been out of any of the games, to be honest with you. But I do know that with having everybody back tells me they're going at it again. I did hear a whimper in the camp during the league that all things weren't ticking. But I suppose when you take the amount of key players that have been missing, it's very difficult to really make a case for them. But like when you think back, like the width of a crossbar kept Trillick in the championship. I remember last year's Ulster Club final, I met a guy from Errol on the pitch and I was congratulating him and he says, it's deadly. He says, we were nearly beaten by Clonoe and Clonoe got relegated. So I think that's the beauty of the Tyrone Championship. There's a lot of teams are quite similar on the day and I think that's what a lot of our counties lack. But your question about Errol, they're champions. There has to be a real, real desire, not just to win the championship, to back it up. You know, that would really, I know it's a cliche, but that would make you a great team in Tyrone if you can back it up, because history tells you, no matter what anything else is said, history tells you it's an impossible, a nearly impossible task.
Yep, that's what Enda McGinley has to do, your buddy Enda. I'm sure we'll get him on for a chat at some stage. Mal, as ever, thanks so much for taking the time out this evening, giving us that wrap-up of Derry and the Tyrone Championship. I'll be speaking to you later as it unfolds.
No problem, Brenton. All the best.
Top man there, Michael McMullen of Gaelic Life, of course. And you hear a lot of Mal's interviews up on HighlandRadio.com from all the action from the weekend. That's all from the show this evening, folks. Thanks as ever for tuning in. And thanks Joe Dex for producing. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions coming up. And next week, Oisin will be chairing the DL debate because I'm out of here. Time to get a wee suntan.